Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit brings a message entitled, "And When the Tempter Came," from Matthew chapter 4.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. In light of the completion of our Bible conference, I thought I would take a few moments to not so much reflect back on last week, but recognize that as we move forward, that we always need to be aware of the reality of Satan's attack. None of us should be ignorant of his devices. And so I'd like us to look this morning for a few moments at the famous passage of Scripture that so clearly speaks of Jesus's encounter with the devil, found in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. And I'd just like to highlight this morning some of the ways it is that Satan attacks and how it is that we should respond in obedience to God against him. Verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship and serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." I don't think we could have had a week like last week in our Bible conference when we lifted up Christ all week long, and then at the same time, the devil decided to go on his own spring break. I don't think that's going to happen. And it's been my experience in the Christian life that whenever you have spiritual highs, that is one of the times that Satan comes and he attacks. And so to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We should not be ignorant of what he is seeking to do in our own lives. So let's look this morning at the theme of "And When the Tempter Came." And the first thing I want us to see is the time of the tempter's attack. When did Satan tempt Jesus? And notice the opening word in verse 1. It said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit." It came, first of all, after a very spiritual high. What did Jesus just experience? Well, back in chapter 3, he tells us he had just commenced his ministry. Jesus' ministry just officially began at his baptism. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, which is the normal age of a priest when they begin their service in the temple. And it was at the very start of his ministry that he was attacked. You cannot do anything to advance the kingdom of God without arousing the kingdom of Satan. It's impossible. If you attack the gates of hell, don't be surprised when the enemy fights back. This is why he particularly attacks us when we start a new ministry. A number of years ago, I was preaching in a church in Wisconsin. And the pastor came to me one night and he said, "I'd like you to meet with our deacons after the church after the church service, and I want you to tell the deacons why, as an evangelist, you ask for travel expense money. I said, really? I said, that's like the worst thing I could ever say to your deacons. But because you're the pastor and you asked me to do it, because, you know, once you start talking about money, it's a lose-lose proposition. I said, but because you asked me, Pastor, I'll do it. So I went in and I told them why, basically, out of our traveling and so forth and so on. Man, there was one deacon, I mean, he must have eaten at Taco Bell that day because he had some really bad indigestion or something. Because he snapped his head looked at me and he said, I don't believe you're trusting the Holy Spirit of God to meet your needs. And I looked at him, I said, sir, you are sorely mistaken. I said, I trust God every single day to meet my needs. Well, we finished, it got a little tense. And so we finished our conversation, and when it was all done, I mean, there's like four deacons there. And the pastor said, you know, finished out our meeting. I said, before I leave, I need to say something. And I turned to that deacon, I said, sir, you publicly rebuked me for something. You have no idea what you were talking about. And I said, I just want you to know that it's been my experience in the ministry where there's bitter envy and strife. Do not lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. I said, something's not right. And he looked at me, and then he looked at all the other deacons and the pastor. He said, well, you want to know what the real problem is? I said, sure, go ahead, tell me. He said, ever since I became a deacon, I've only had problems. He said, the moment I became a deacon, I had problems with this, problems with this, problems with this, problems with this. And I looked at him, I said, well, sir, welcome to the ministry. Nobody gets involved in spiritual work and doesn't have to face spiritual battles. His problem was not me, it was a different enemy. Jesus began his ministry and immediately he was attacked of the devil. It was a spiritual high in his own life. At that time of his baptism, he was clothed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit's anointing came upon Jesus for his ministry enablement. I have found that quite often when God is blessing the most, the devil is also fighting the most. When God is near, the devil's not far away. We go through spiritual high points like a week of camp, the end of a revival meeting, a completion of a special service of God after a great Bible conference, where our minds are most centered on Christ, and it seems like all kinds of things began to happen in my life. When you sense that God is using you, you will also experience the fact that the devil will be abusing you. Jesus had gone through this great baptismal experience. But let me say one other thing about it, and that is he had been commended by his own Father. This is the first time God himself had verbally identified Jesus as his son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father had honored the Son, and then that's when he was tempted. Someone came up to a pastor one day and said, Pastor, that was a great sermon. And the pastor says, yes, I know. I've already been reminded by the devil. When you and I are given credit or we receive recognition or perhaps we've graduated with honors, anything that will lift us up can become a snare of the devil. When is it that we're going to be attacked? Number one, when there are spiritual high points in our lives. But then notice, secondly, not only was it a spiritual high, but it was also a physical low. Look at what it says in verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered, and when the tempter came to him. Not only was this spiritual high, but there was also this physical low. You know, the devil is a dirty fighter. He comes to you at your weak points. Years ago, when I was in Kenya, Africa, I went out to a game preserve park, and in one day we saw 40 wild lions. It was one of the neatest experiences of my life. And the missionary we were with said, "Steve, do you realize that lions are actually kind of dirty fighters? They don't like to do a lot of work, so they attack certain kinds of animals. They attack an animal that's old, an animal that's wandered off, and an animal that is physically weak. I have learned that when you are physically or emotionally low, your temptations are generally high. You're physically tired or you're sick. We always wear our emotions on our sleeve when we don't feel good. Emotionally drained." How many of you were tired this weekend? Sure, most of us. Welcome to planet Earth. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a sickness. Maybe there's a conflict or a trial, and you've been emotionally disappointed or perhaps irritated or hurt or bitter in the realm of your emotions, and there's this tension and struggle going on emotionally and physically, and it's at that time when the tempter comes. Now, the reason I'm telling you this morning is so that you will be aware of this. You will understand this. And you will not be caught by surprise. And that leads me to the second thing, and that is the tactics of the tempter. When the devil attacks you, what does he do? And let's go back, if you will, and notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "And when the tempter came to him," the first thing we learn about the tactic of the devil is that he is aggressive. You don't have to look for the tempter. He looks for you. The very nature of Satan is aggressive. He's like a thief who is looking to steal. He's like a lion who is seeking to devour. He is like a snake who is coming to bite. This is why you must be aggressive within your own nature to be able to resist the temptation. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you are passive, there's no way that you are going to be victorious. For as aggressive as your tempter is, so should be your resistance. You cannot overcome by being laid back. It's spiritual war. Put on the armor and stand. So as the devil is aggressive, so you should be aggressive. I don't think it's wrong to get mad at the devil. I was here as a student back in 1978 to 1980, and I'd spent the evening over in the library. I lived off campus in Taylor's, and I was driving home, and I was just really upset because I felt like I had been tempted by the devil, and I was struggling, and I got mad. Now, I don't suggest that you do this all the time, but I just started yelling at the devil. I mean, yelling at him. I didn't curse, I yelled at him. And I told him, I says, "You have no right to me. I am God's child, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am not my own." I yelled all the way home. Well, I was living in a home with a widow lady, and she had told me that she was going to be out of town, and I didn't think she was there in the house, and so I started yelling when I got out of the car and walked in the house, and I started yelling. And then I went upstairs and went to bed. And the next morning I woke up and I heard some movement down in the kitchen. And Mrs. Haynes, the dear precious lady that I lived with, she was downstairs fixing breakfast. And she fixed breakfast for me every day. And I went down to sit down to eat breakfast. And then she looked at me. She said, "Steve, were you okay last night when you came in? You need to be aggressive." Why? Because the nature of the tempter is aggressive. But then notice, secondly, the nature of the tempter is he is suggestive. In verse 3, it says, he said. In verse 6, it says, he saith unto him. In verse 9, it's he saith unto him. Satan speaks his word against the word. When the devil aggressively came to Eve, listen to what he said to Eve. Yea, hath God said. Satan always attacks what God had said by subtly suggesting that there is a problem or there is an issue concerning the character of God. When the devil attacks, he is trying to get into your head so that you think incorrectly about God. The devil puts a question mark where God has already put a period. And notice the devil's suggestions to Jesus concerning God. What's the first suggestion? Does God care? Jesus had fasted 40 days under the leadership of the Spirit. He was hungry, legitimately. But God had not given Jesus the permission to break his fast. It was the will of God for Jesus to suffer with hunger. And the temptation was to satisfy a pressing, legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Can you hear Satan now? Why, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You don't deserve to be hungry. If your Father really cared about you, why would he let you suffer? Go ahead, use your divine powers to meet your human needs. Turn these stones into bread. God fed his children in the wilderness with manna from heaven, and you can do the same. When our momentary needs are being denied and doing God's will, you have to be on your guard against Satan, who will suggest that God must not care about you. God does care about you. And so he's trying to get into your head so you don't think God cares and God isn't good. But notice the second suggestion. Jesus is taken to the southeast corner of the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. What does Satan suggest? That Jesus jumps off in order to test God, to see if God would take care of him since he promised he would. The jump was a 500-foot jump to the bottom of the Kidron Valley. What was Satan trying to do? He's trying to get in the head of Jesus with this question, can God be trusted? Will God do what he's promised? Now, God had promised that the angels would take care of him. But I want you to listen very, very carefully to the words of Satan. And then I'd like to read to you where those words came from in Psalm 91. And can you notice the difference? Here's the words of the devil. And he saith unto them, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now that's Matthew 4. The devil was quoting Psalm 91, but will you listen to Psalm 91 and do you notice any difference? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What is the difference? The difference is that when the devil quoted Psalm 91, he left out one half of verse 11. The devil said, he shall give angels charge concerning thee, period. Psalm 91 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The angels will protect you. And God made that promise when you're walking in his ways. God promises to protect you when you are in his will. But what the devil was doing was suggesting to Jesus, put God to the test to find out if God cares for you. And what God is saying, I'm going to care for you if you walk in my will. Walk in my will, and whatever comes your way, I will protect you. But don't test me. God puts us to the test to see if he can trust us, but we do not put God to the test to see if we can trust him. How often in our lives are we put to the test to trust God? We're living in His ways, walking in His will, and things aren't exactly the way I would want them to be. And yet, what are we going to do? Are we going to get outside of His will to get what we want, or will we trust God? And then notice the third suggestion. The devil takes Jesus up to a high mountain, shows Him the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them. He says, "All these things I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me." A suggestion was made for Jesus to take a shortcut to the kingdom. God's plan for Jesus is to rule the world. Satan suggests you can accomplish that without God's will. You can have the kingdoms of the world right now with no cross, no suffering, and no death. Just do one thing, bow down and worship me. And it's written in the Greek this way, just this one time. It doesn't have to be permanent. Just bow your knee one time. The problem is, it was a lie, a delusion. The kingdoms of this world are not the devil's to give away. And even if Satan could give him a taste of the glory, it will vanish away very, very quickly. What's the test? Can you trust your future to God? It's a delusion. If you did that, you're forsaking God's will, believing Satan's lie, and pursuing your own ends. You're trying to satisfying your own pleasures, your desire for positions and possessions. You're under delusion. This world is not yours. It's God's world. We are to simply trust God with our future. We can put our life in His hands and stay there by faith. And so Satan is subtle. He aggressively comes and he wants to get in your head. And he makes suggestions that cause you to question the character of God. So let me stop and ask you a question. Have you been tempted of the devil lately? Do you find yourself battling in your own heart? Well, that leads me to the last point, and that is, how do we have triumph over the tempter's attack? And two simple things. The first thing is that we have to understand what's going on. There's something strange about the temptation of Jesus in verse 1. It says, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, to me, that's kind of odd. How can the Spirit and Satan work together to tempt the Son of God? That doesn't make any sense. But it does make sense when you understand the word tempt can be translated test. This is not so much a seduction to sin, but rather a test of the loyalty, strength, and ability that God wants us to have in our service for Him. God, for example, tempted Abraham's loyalty in asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. He was put to the test. The Holy Spirit is not a partner with Satan in an attempt to compel Jesus to sin. Jesus was submitting to a test of loyalty and obedience. You see, in every temptation, there are two sides. It's like two sides of the same coin. On one side is the devil. On the other side is God. Satan is tempting and God is testing. Same experience, different purpose. The devil wants to hurt us. God wants to help us. One is destructive. The other is constructive. It's all based on the way you respond. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. What does that mean? He wanted to get Peter in a place where he would be separated from his faith. He would walk away from his faith. That's the devil's temptation in our life. Walk away. Turn away from your obedience to God. Turn away from your persevering faith. And what did Jesus say? He said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. You need to understand, Peter, you're going to be attacked on the realm of your faith, so you need to persevere and hang on to God. Sometimes in temptation, it's just hanging on. You feel the storm, you feel the undertow pulling you out, but you hang on and you don't give in. Number one, you have to understand this is what's going on. And then finally, there needs to be resistance. What did Jesus do when he was tempted of the devil? He resisted the devil. Perhaps your temptation is persistent because you've not been resistant. And how did he fight the devil? Not in the power of his own might, not in his own strength, but he did it on the authority of the word. What does that tell me? It tells me that the power of God in the life of a believer is found when the believer is willing to be obedient to God no matter what. There is power and obedience. Turn the stone into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where is your victory found? It's found when you resist the devil on the authority of the word of God. A number of years ago, I was preaching in a country church up in Tennessee. Pastor was kind of an old-fashioned preacher. He said, "Brother, let's have a word of prayer." I said, "Okay." We got down on our knees, started praying. And in the middle of the prayer, he turned to me. He said, "Brother Pettit?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you know what color the devil is?" I went, "Red?" He said, "No, he's yellow. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." No one here is powerful enough to withstand the devil, but the power of his word will overcome every temptation he throws at you. So would you stay faithful to God? If you're in the middle of an attack, stay true. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to be true to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Platform. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University. And I invite you to join us at our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, to see how you can be prepared academically and spiritually to serve the Lord through one of our more than 100 undergraduate and graduate programs. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.